Welcome to Imprint, a podcast about creating a home and life you love. I'm Natalie Walton, an interior designer, stylist, and best-selling author focused on an holistic approach to homes. Each week, I'm sharing insights and interviews about the creative process to help you enhance both your interiors and well-being, as well as provide you with the tools and resources to make considered and sustainable choices with all that you create. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Imprint. I am really looking forward to talking about today's topic. It is something that actually someone on my team suggested that I discuss. And when she suggested it, I loved the idea because it's funny how we can sometimes get removed from what we know and what we've learned. And it really gave me pause to think. So I hope that you enjoy this episode as much as I am going to enjoy sharing it with you. Just a quick reminder, if you are a new listener, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. You might want to hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. Got some really great interviews coming up as well. And if you are a longtime listener and have yet to leave a 5-star rating or a review, I would really appreciate that. It's always not only is it so lovely to hear from you, I mean, this is pretty much the only way that I can hear from you, but also it really helps other people who have similar values on a similar journey get access to these resources as well. All right, so what was the question? I was asked, if I was a design beginner, what would I do? So she was asking it in relation to like designing a space, what were things to avoid, people to listen to, what questions would I ask myself? So I have gone through and had a little brainstorm about if I was, you know, at the start of my journey again, designing spaces, then what would I do? I mean, well, I guess it's what have I learned along the way? And it's interesting because at the same time, just yesterday, I got an emergency message from a friend who was doing some work on her home, and she had a question about whether the timber battens, the timber palings on an exterior fascia, if they were too close together. And it's funny when I get asked these kind of questions because my response was, well, what is your visual reference? What do you want this to look like? Because there sometimes is not necessarily a right or a wrong answer. It really comes back to, well, what's your vision for this? What do you want it to look like? Because what it looked like from what her builder had done was very contemporary. Now, it is not my style. I wouldn't do it in that style, but that's not for me to say that it's wrong. It just doesn't look what I would do. You know, it could be perfect for her. So I need to tap in. Well, what is your vision? What do you want this to look like? And it amazes me, and this happens so often, that people make changes to their home, people make changes to their spaces, and engage builders and engage contractors without being really clear on what they actually want it to look like. It is so important to really have a very clear vision of that, because that will actually guide all your decisions. And then you can be very clear with your contractors about what you want that to look like. So that would be my first big tip or step, is to get clear on your vision. And I would say that in relation to two key areas. The first is that you need to decide, what is this project for you? Now, for my friend, they have been renovating the inside of the house, and now they're doing some work on the exterior. And this is a house that they will be living in for a number of years. So this is not a house that they're going to be selling in, you know, a year or 6 months. They're not flipping it. They're not putting it on Airbnb. It is a family home. Now, they also, though, have a limited budget because they just spent a lot of money. It was much more than they expected on a big kitchen renovation. So because of that, they are, you know, they're doing what they can with what their space that they've got, which, you know, many people are in that situation. But that doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't create a really clear vision. So that would be what I would say to you, is get clear on what this project is for you. Because if it's something that it's a space that you want to feel personally connected with, then you need to tap in. What do you love? What do you want your space to be like? And also, it's really important to connect to your place. So what feels relevant for that home within the context of its environment? I am not a big fan of people building homes that are completely incongruous with their environment. I know it can be, you know, attention grabbing, you know, if you just have like a big black box at the beach, for instance, you know, and it's very modern architectural lines. And look, depending on the context, maybe if it's in a beach-sized suburb where there are lots of things like that, it might work. But it always comes back to the location. What feels in integrity for the location of where you are building, for the location of where you are living and designing? So I always come back to those things, is that you need to relate to the project and what this is for you. You need to relate to the place and your surrounding environment. And also, you know, your home itself as well, and what makes sense for that building. There are certain things with my own home that, you know, I need and want to stay integrity with this home itself, because we bought, me and my husband, this house for a reason. You know, so we're staying in integrity with that. Number two is, when it comes to designing, and this is something that I've always done, is you need to step through every space. Now, obviously, if it is just a block of land, then, you know, you're not physically stepping through the rooms, but you need to step through it in terms of, okay, so, you know, even if you're using masking tape, or you use chalk, or you use whatever you've got available to you, even if it's a few bits of timber, and you kind of say, okay, well, this is where the front door is going to be. And you stand there and you look at, what am I going to be looking out on? And, you know, what will we be looking into? And is this wide enough? And thinking about, where will our hand go for the light switch? And what will we see at the end of the hallway? So really stepping through every space and looking, even if you have to use your imagination, but really looking at what is around you. Is this bedroom going to be looking onto a neighbor's back garden? Is it going to be looking onto their, you know, if I put this bedroom here, is that where their bathroom is? Do I want to be lying in bed listening to people going to the toilet? You know, so depending on where you live, it's funny because I never think about these things, well, in relation to the context of my home, because I'm on 2 acres. But my mum has asked me to look at a few homes for her recently. And it's just made me realize again how often you've got to think about the proximity of your neighbors and how the rooms and the designs are going to relate to each other in that sense. So really step through every space and think about, if I'm doing the laundry, you know, how far do I have to walk with a laundry basket? Or how far do I have to walk from the bedrooms to take it to the washing machine? These are things that you might be doing every single day, and you need to design for how you live. Number three is to specify everything. And this is where my friend fell through the cracks. She hadn't specified the exact spacing between each timber paling. And so what ended up happening is that they were very close together, and it wasn't a look that she liked. She ended up with something. And so now her builder has to take all of these off and start again. So that's obviously wasting his time, her money, you know, and she knows this, and, you know, she's kind of joking about it. But, you know, this happens all the time. So it's so important that you specify everything from the spacing, the gaps, the height of the things that you want. Never assume anything. Because even then, somebody I work with, she dealt with a tiler, and she had done the entire tile set out, and the tiler still did things that had not been, you know, she had specified it in a certain way, and he did things incorrectly. I mean, these things can still happen even when you specify. And sometimes when it's hard to get hold of trades, or the trades that, you know, are like that next level and will really follow the instructions, they might be three times the price and you don't have the budget for that. So you've got to be really, really careful.
Just quickly, if you're new to me and the podcast, I have four books that I've created for you to help break down the biggest lessons I've learned over the past 15 years working in the interiors industry. The first, This Is Home, has more than 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon and has almost a perfect score, and more than 5 years since its release continues to be a bestseller for interior and home design on Amazon. I share this because I've put thousands of hours into creating all of my books. I put my heart and soul into each one to help you on your journey to creating a home that's beautiful and authentic and makes you feel good every time you step through the front door. This Is Home is part of a trilogy that includes Still, The Slow Home, and Style, The Art of Creating a Beautiful Home. So I encourage you to check them out if you haven't already. And Home by the Sea, my fourth book, includes my own home and is all about loving where you live. I hope you find them valuable and they help you on your journey. You can buy them on Amazon or support your local bookseller. Now back to the show.
Number four is to avoid trends. And I see this all the time and I think, oh my goodness, I can't believe that these people are doing this, and it is such a trend-focused thing to do and to spend money on doing something that is very trend-based, particularly when it's a structural item. I just think it's such a waste of money. Now look, you can have fun with your interiors and you can do certain things that, you know, you might think, yeah, okay, it's a bit on trend, but it, you know, it might be a paint color. You might think, well, I'll just paint it again. If I get bored of this, I'll paint it again. But for me, one of the big things that I see that people do, and I really personally would avoid this as much as possible, is following trends in relation to tiling. Because tiling is very expensive to replace and it's very hard to make cosmetic changes with tiles. Yes, there are some paints that you can maybe use. They're not the best, you know, to paint over. But if you are going for a patterned or a color tile and it is something that is likely to date, it is a very expensive job to replace and it will also date your home. I remember when everyone was doing the patterned Moroccan tiles in, you know, like laundries and kitchens and bathrooms. And I just thought, oh, like it's just going to look so, I can't remember what year it was, but let's say, you know, it looks so 2021 or something, whatever year it was. But, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you do. Now, look, there are some that are true vintage ones and they actually look authentic to the space. But when it's like a very contemporary home and they've put a pattern tile in, it really, you know, it is the sort of thing that really dates very quickly. So for me, I would avoid trends, particularly in relation to tiles. Number five is to be careful who you listen to. Now, this can kind of work a couple of ways. One is that I wouldn't take aesthetic design advice off a builder or a tradesperson unless I knew they had a good eye. However, I would listen to them in terms of how something is made or structural considerations in relation to that idea. So they might say to me, for instance, if I wanted to, I'm just trying to think that, you know, I was inserting like a floating timber shelf, and they might say, well, you can, you know, you can biscuit join these two pieces of timber together and it will give you the look of the thickness, but you don't have to go and source a piece of timber that you know, you don't have to get it milled. And so they are helping me create the look that I want to have, you know, for a fraction of the price. So in those instances, it is really good and helpful to listen to trades, because particularly ones who've got experience, because they can save you a lot of money and that can be really helpful. However, be really careful in terms of listening to them in for advice particularly depending on their level of experience. Now, there are some trades who work on very high-end jobs and they work a lot with architects, and they might be able to give you feedback saying, you know, look, we just did this. I'm going to use an example in my local area. You know, we just did this architect home designed home in Watergoes, which is a very, you know, these are the types of homes that sell for like $30 million, crazy kind of prices, very high end, you know, very high end business people own these homes and get, you know, very top architects to design them and builders and so on. And so they might give you feedback in terms of the finish on a line render of what that has happened. And they might, you know, really be able to give you some insights that you might not know or might not have been aware of. However, if they are just doing really cheap jobs and they might say, oh yeah, you can just use like a bit of stainless steel strip around the niche inside a shower, because they've been doing on that and that on jobs that are like really cheap jobs, you know, I wouldn't be listening to that kind of advice. So you've got to be really careful who you listen to in relation to getting advice. And also, you know, friends, you might be asking friends for advice, and you've got to be really careful about, you know, do you actually really love what they have done with their home? And some people, you know, you can might think, you know, I like what they do for them, but that's not right for me. You've got to really tune in what feels right for you, because ultimately you are going to be the one who is living with it. Number six is to stay on track, and specifically to stay on track with what I call your North Star. This is a visual reference that you can come back to over and over again. And so for my friend who had the timber fencing that she didn't love, I said, well, what's, you know, do you have like one image that is your kind of like your North Star in relation to this project? And as soon as she showed me, I understood instantly what she was trying to achieve with her home. And so you need to always be going back to that, because that is going to be the thing that's going to help guide your decisions and keep you on track, because it's very easy to get off track. But you need to have something that embodies the feeling that you want to create in your spaces. And then number seven is to finish what you start. So what do I mean by this? So often I see people renovate their homes and they leave no budget or no time to finish them off. Now, when I say finish them off, a home is never finished in terms of there are always projects and there are always things to have happen. You know, a home is, it's in a constant rhythm. And so there will be things that get used and worn and that need to be replaced or updated over time. You know, it is not a static space. However, even if you are renovating on a budget or you're designing a home and you've got a limited amount of money, it is still important to set aside time at the end of your project to go, okay, we have done as much structural change as we possibly can with the amount of funds that we have. And now we are going to allocate a certain amount of money to decorating this space, to actually making it feel like a home. Now, you might have things that you can use from your existing home, and if you're kind of, maybe you've been renting somewhere else, you're going to bring those in. So there might be things that you can do. Or maybe it's time that you've got some pieces that really need to be replaced, and so you're going to look to do that. And there are always ways around this. You can find vintage things. You can find things on Facebook Marketplace and get them reupholstered. Even if you get furniture inbuilt, sometimes that can be a more economical solution. But you really want to add those finishing touches. And for me, two of the biggest and easiest ways to finish off your spaces is to make sure that you have got beautiful lighting. And when I say this, I mean pendant lights, wall lights, task lights. These are the decorative accents that will bring your home to space. And secondly, rugs. I love rugs. They help ground the space. They help define areas. They add texture, they add layers, they add visual interest, they add warmth, they make spaces feel inviting. So if nothing else, if you make sure that you've got some beautiful lighting and you've got some beautiful rugs in your space, then that will go some way towards really starting to make your place feel like home. And also books. I love books. I mean, you put books around a space and that definitely helps make it feel more inviting. Actually, on that, when this episode goes live, it will actually be the 6-year anniversary of my book, This Is Home. And I am just blown away that 6 years since that book went out into the world, that it is still constantly in the top 5 to 10 for interior design on Amazon. It is a book that has in many ways kind of gone viral. I know so many people who have bought it for friends, for family members. And it's just, I'm so grateful that it really has touched so many people's hearts. And so if you have that book, This Is Home, I just want to say thank you so much. I poured my heart and soul into that book. And I did it not for money. I did it just purely as a passion project that I wanted to give a resource that people could use to really connect with the home and understand the importance of home. And in many ways, the ideas that I've shared with you today are the ideas that I share in that book. And they are ideas that I really hold true. And I hope that you have found them valuable. So just quickly recap, because I don't think I have as yet. So if I was a design beginner, this is what I would do. I would get clear on, I'm going to say it for you, get clear on your vision. Make sure that you step through every space so that you really get clear about how you're going to move around the spaces, how the spaces function. It's so important to get this right, what you're going to see. You know, do things like frame of view with a door or a window. Make sure that you specify everything. That's number 3. Avoid trends is number 4, particularly in relation to tiles. Number 5 is be careful who you listen to. Number 6 is stay on track and use your North Star, your visual reference, as a guide with making decisions. And number 7, finish what you start. Take the steps to actually make your place feel like a home, because we can have a structure and we can have walls and, you know, the floor put in and the windows and the doors. But really, we feel best when we have those things around us that have those emotional connections and make us really connect and enjoy our spaces and enjoy them. You know, invite friends over, bring your home to life. There's nothing like having people in your home and welcoming people into your home to bring it to life. So I hope that you have found this episode helpful. And as always, love to hear from you. This has been episode 181. And please put a little comment in the review section if you have enjoyed this episode, or you can send me a DM on Instagram at Natalie Walton. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope you have a beautiful week and look forward to connecting again with you this time again. All of the links and info for this episode are at nataliewalton.com/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so that you can get a direct download of the latest episode. And I really appreciate when you take a minute to rate and review, as well as share the love with someone you know who might benefit from this episode, or on social media. If you'd like to access a range of free resources, come visit my website, nataliewalton.com. Thank you to Jaeger Media for producing this podcast. And I would also like to acknowledge the people of the Bundjalung Nation where it was recorded, and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I look forward to connecting again soon. I'm Natalie Walton, and you've been listening to Imprint.